Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. The massive tax and spending package passed by congressional Republicans last year also imposed new restrictions on student loans. And some advocates say those restrictions could hurt students and communities that need professionals like doctors and lawyers the most.
They may have difficulty borrowing money, and if that's the case, that may worsen the shortages in those communities.
We'll have more on the tighter rules coming up on The Gateway. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen has approved a 5-year moratorium on the construction of most detention centers in the city. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on yesterday's vote.
7th Ward Alderwoman Alicia Saunier's bill says city departments cannot take any action to approve non-municipal detention centers. That includes issuing permits or changing zoning. Saunier acknowledges the city cannot supersede the authority of a higher level of government like the state or the feds.
What I think people should focus on is that there are a lot of detention facilities that are ran by private applicants.
Mayor Kara Spencer is reviewing the legislation. If she signs it, the moratorium would lift in January 2031. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen will start a new legislative session today, staring at a packed schedule. Board President Megan Green outlined her legislative agenda yesterday. It includes allocating funds from RAM settlement, setting regulations on data centers, and updating minority contracting provisions. Lawmakers will also have to consider water rate hikes. The utility says it will need an increase every year until 2032. Though some of the RAM's money will go towards the water department, Green says that's unfortunately not enough.
We need reoccurring funding in order to remain solvent for the water department. Even with the proposed increases, I'll also note, we still will be considerably less in our water bills in comparison to surrounding areas.
The average residential customer in the city currently pays about $40 a month. If all of the requested hikes are approved, they would pay about $69 a month by 2032. A former superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools filed a lawsuit against the district yesterday. Keisha Scarlett served for 1 year before she was placed on leave and then later fired in 2024. The school board claimed she had violated the district's hiring practices. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed spoke with Scarlett and has this report.
Scarlett's lawsuit against the district claims SLPS violated her contract when they placed her on leave. It says the district prevented her from accessing documents to appeal her termination. Scarlett says the school board approved the high-paying salaries she offered to district officials.
The board knew I wasn't working with a full team and that they would really give me runway to have the team.
Scarlett was placed on leave in July 2024 after the school board claimed they did not knowingly approve these salaries. Subsequent audits of Scarlett's 1-year tenure showed she violated district policies on hiring and spending on district-approved credit cards. SLPS declined to comment for the story. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
A bill to protect minors from deepfakes and artificial intelligence passed the Missouri House yesterday. The legislation that was approved 145-3 makes it a crime to share altered depictions of a child online. It also aims to protect adult victims of sexually explicit deepfakes. Democratic Representative Marty Jo Murray of St. Louis says the bill is necessary.
There are times where I question whether or not to even post my daughter on social media because the way that people take those images and do illicit things with them.
Other provisions of the bill would prevent developers from advertising that AI can provide therapy and ban social media for anyone under 16 without parental consent. It now goes to the Senate. St. Charles City Council will draw a name from a jar tonight to break a tie for the Ward 1 seat. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gromich reports, the winner of the draw may only keep the seat temporarily.
Incumbent City Council member Bill Otto filed for a recount in an attempt to determine who will win the contested seat once and for all. Missouri statute says any candidate defeated by less than 1% of the vote has the right to a recount. St. Charles County Elections Director Kurt Barr says the winner of the court-ordered recount would take the contested council seat, regardless of the winner of tonight's random draw. Barr says the election authority will not contest the suit.
there is a mechanism for people to go to the courts if they don't like the election result. And that's just a normal part of the process and doesn't indicate that the election itself was wrong.
The hearing to determine whether to grant Otto's recount is set for May 1st. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
The head of the St. Louis County Council says the group has been slow to approve hiring physicians to work at government-run health clinics because of conflict of interest concerns. A bill that would authorize a $3.6 million contract to hire physicians from SSM Health has been before the council since last July. Officials in the county say that puts care at one of its clinics in South County in jeopardy. Chairwoman Rita Hurd-Days says she's worried about County Executive Sam Page's connections to SSM. Page works as an anesthesiologist, but has said his work has been as a volunteer. The clinic's existing contract is scheduled to expire this summer. Federal student loans have undergone massive changes under the Trump administration. Republicans' massive tax and spending bill passed last July placed borrowing limits on graduate and professional degrees. This month, the Education Department gutted the Biden-era Save Loan Forgiveness Program. As Kat Ramkumar reports, these changes could lead to shortages in some professions.
Kansas City University is home to the fourth largest medical school in the U.S. by class size. However, President and CEO Mark Kahn is worried about students being able to afford classes after July.
This is a full-time effort for those students. They really don't have the luxury of being able to take a part-time job.
The Education Department has narrowed the distinction between graduate and professional degrees to limit federal spending. Degrees that were previously considered professional, such as physical therapy, physician assistant, or nursing, are now considered graduate programs. Under new legislation, graduate students earning a master's degree will only be able to borrow a little more than $20,000 annually or $100,000 total. Professional students studying law or medicine can borrow $50,000 annually or $200,000 total. For context, a study by an education research group calling itself the Education Data Initiative shows that the average cost of medical school is a little less than $60,000 per year. What's more, these lifetime caps include undergraduate debt, meaning students who took out loans to get their bachelor's degree have less when they go to borrow for grad school. Chris Hicks is a senior policy advisor at the nonprofit Protect Borrowers.
We need those sorts of workers in all of our communities. And that's why we need to advocate for a better higher education system that puts those people first.
Rising costs reflect in profession shortages. There is a growing doctor shortage across the country. Missouri ranks in the bottom half of states for healthcare access. A study by the conservative Cicero Institute think tank shows that 111 of Missouri's 114 counties are health professional shortage areas. Amidst loan restrictions, Kansas City University is now forming relationships with private lenders to help students with finances. However, Hahn says private loans are not accessible to everyone and will not be able to fill the gap the federal government is opening.
The concern is that kids from these diverse backgrounds, whether you're talking about rural parts of Missouri or urban parts of Missouri, they may have difficulty borrowing money. And if that's the case, that may worsen the shortages in those communities.
Graduate school is not the only facet of higher education facing cuts. The Education Department, in a joint settlement with the state of Missouri, ended the SAVE plan, leaving 7.5 million borrowers to transition into new plans. Abby Schaefroth is the managing director of advocacy at the National Consumer Law Center. Due to the timing of this decision, she thinks a lot of people will be caught off guard.
And they'll start becoming delinquent, which hurts the credit. And ultimately, if they're delinquent for 9 months, they default.
When someone defaults, they're ineligible for further student loans and can have their tax refund seized, salary garnished, and can even get sued. Borrowers have limited repayment options for closing debt. Experts worry federal loan cuts in the midst of an affordability crisis will have consequences. I'm Kat Ramkumar.
That story comes to us from NPR station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.